All right. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to another 2 weeks here with a larger percentage of time outside. So, okay. So I'm going to talk about the forward-backward asymmetry and the new strong interaction realization, basically, for low-scale T-channel models. So I want to review a few issues with regarding flavor and the asymmetry, and in particular, review briefly a possible solution to flavor problems involving flavor-symmetric vector models for the AFB. I have a few comments to make where I will this is work done with these authors. A few comments to make about work which focused on the actual, the minimal Z prime exchange, and in particular looking at the charge asymmetry versus the forward-backward asymmetry, as well as other constraints, which will be relevant for the last part, which is the strong interaction realization at sub-TV scales with these authors. And this should show up this summer. So first part, so Suzanne covered most of this. I just wanted to add that, of course, we know that there is a discrepancy. There's an MTT bar dependence measurement at CDF, originally just two bins, high and low, and the high bin showed some deviation, in particular from the standard model prediction, about 2.4 sigma discrepancy, whereas there is no discrepancy in the low bin, below 450 GV. And there's a nice, more recent measurement from CDF with many more MTT bar bins and bins of rapidity difference. So the rest of this I'll skip. Suzanne discussed this. So good. So I can go to skip to low mass T-channel explanations for the forward-backward asymmetry. So we know that they have some appealing features. We know that a Z prime or a W prime with a relatively light mass of a few hundred GeV tends to yield a large forward-backward asymmetry, which increases with the invariant mass because of this forward scattering due to a Rutherford scattering peak. In the T-channel. You can simultaneously get good agreement with the measured MTT bar spectrum, as pointed out by these authors, once you take into account the reduction in the CDF acceptance at large pseudorapidity. Okay, so that tends to bring the predicted spectrum in these models in line with the data. So, and again, in these models, they naturally produce top quarks in the forward direction at large invariant mass. There are some issues. In principle, you can have same sign top production from Z prime exchange, single top production from W prime. And of course, you need these couplings in these two models to be order one. So you might wonder, well, am I not going to have FCNC trouble, in particular DD bar mixing, which would be via this coupling. So you would have to have a model which somehow arranges to have a very large hierarchy between these couplings without tuning. Another issue pointed out in this paper was that when you have a light mediator in the T-channel, you can also produce it via associated production, and its decay will enhance, in principle, the TT bar total cross-section. That turns out to be an issue at the LHC. And if you consider region of parameter space for these kinds of models that explains the forward-backward asymmetry, you find that you need the branching ratio of the Z prime or the W prime back to top and quarks to be suppressed. So you need to have some dominant decay mechanism for these guys in such models. There are also associated bounds from top jet resonance searches, which also would call for a suppressed branching ratio of the Z prime to top plus jet.
How do you get around the first one?
What?
Top production. Same
sign top production. Yes.
How do you
Yes, that's a very, yeah, this is an issue. That's a problem. Issue means problem. Oh, no. I'm going to the next slide. Oh, yeah. Flavor symmetric models, yes. Well, of course, flavor symmetry gets rid of these guys. Yes. So flavor symmetric models. So one could consider broadly new physics, which is in the MFV class, so the usual U3 cubed symmetry, where the Yukawas, where only the Yukawas and new flavor diagonal phases could be the source of FCNCs. Or we could have a flavor symmetry for the new physics representations, which is the subgroup U2 cubed cross U1, which is also appealing for satisfying FC&C constraints. So the idea is that the new fields which you introduce, and in particular the vectors in low-scale T-channel models, would sit in non-trivial representations of the symmetry group with order one couplings between the top and the light quarks. But now that would be OK, because flavor symmetry would automatically ensure that you don't have like sign top or single top production, and the DD bar mixing is not an issue. So yeah, so that's the motivation. We looked, we cataloged all the possible non-trivial flavor symmetric vector representations you could have. There were 22 of them, which satisfied the MFV hypothesis, for example. I just wanted to briefly focus on these guys, these two rows here, which we found to be the most promising at the time. So the simplest viable possibility was to have vectors which are flavor octets under the right-handed up quark for U3 upright. So they couple to right-handed up quarks. That's safest for various reasons. And they can either be color octet or color singlet. So those were the two possibilities we had singled out. So you could have a universal coupling between the vectors and the right-handed quarks, plus MFV corrections. Or you could start from the beginning with just an SU2 cross U1 symmetry. So you could have a color octet that's a flavor octet and a color octet, or just a flavor octet. And what's interesting in these models is, OK, so generically, they will have both T-channel exchange contributions to TT bar. So in the strong interaction realization, this will be the K star, OK? And there'll be S-channel contributions. So this would correspond to phi and omega once you promote these octets to non-nets. You'll see how that works. So, but the T channel dominates for TT bar production. Okay, we checked that, of course, that the MTT bar spectrum can be reproduced while simultaneously getting good low bin and high bin asymmetries. Actually, these old results are much more consistent with the new data, which moved down here and moved up here. And the red guys are the ones to look at. These plots are for the color octet, flavor octet model. The red guys are for a light vector octet of 300 GeV, and that's generically what you find in these T-channel models, is that low mass vectors are preferred, and indeed both for reproducing the spectrum and getting at the same time getting a satisfactory forward-backward asymmetry. Now, in this model, we just assume that the vector multiplet has large widths of order 10%. And actually, that turned out to be very useful for satisfying digit constraints from the exchange of the S-channel exchanges from the vectors that can be exchanged in the S-channel in these flavor multiplets, phi, omega, rho, basically. And with large widths, you could have essentially flavor symmetric couplings between the vectors and the different quarks. So now let me just focus on some things we learned about just the flavor changing Z prime. So this is all by way of an introduction to the strong interaction model. So we started by looking at the contribution to the charge asymmetry from this associated single mediator production. So you turn things around, and now the Z prime can be produced via this diagram. So this is the diagram basically relevant for T-channel exchange. You can also have this associated production. And what you see is that at the LHC, the up quark, of course, carries a lot more energy than the gluon. So the Z prime gets a boost in the forward direction, much more than the U bar would in the corresponding diagram with U bar and gluon. And so that tends to boost, the Z prime decays to a T bar. That tends to now boost the T bar in the high pseudo rapidity direction, opposite to what happens from the T channel exchange. So you get an extra negative contribution to the charge asymmetry, which partially cancels the positive contribution from the forward-backward asymmetry. And so you break the correlation between the charge asymmetry and the forward-backward asymmetry. So in these models, it's not true necessarily that AC and AFB are correlated. Okay? You can break the correlation, so it's something to keep in mind. So we, yes? The Z-prime transforms under flavor. Oh. Or in this case, it's not self-conjugate. So effectively, it's not self-conjugate because of an underlying flavor symmetry. Yes, yes, yes. So, so here's the coupling we studied versus mass. We employed a chi-squared to find the optimal range for the coupling and the mass and for the branching ratio of the Z-prime to the top and up. And we looked at three different renormalization scales. The six observables that went into the scan were the total cross-sections of the Tevatron and LHC, inclusive forward-backward asymmetry, high and low asymmetries, and the charge asymmetry. And what we found is that the best fit points tend to lie at low MZ prime and with a suppressed branching ratio. So that's what I said earlier. You would need a dominant mode that goes beyond this minimal model for the Z-prime to decay into. So it's of order one. It's, I think it, no, it's, well, I'll come back to that in a strongly interacting model. I will spill the beans now. It would be like in a strongly interacting model, you would have K star to K pi, which is a strong, you're right. You would have a strong interaction decay, so that's what happens. So this I already said, the branching ratio of suppression satisfies the top jet resonance production bounds easily, but it requires, in a realistic model, an additional dominant decay. Okay, so this is a, just by way, to be a little more detailed, here for a 2MT scale, renormalization scale, and a branching ratio of 25%, to top and up, in the coupling versus mass plane, this is our best fit point, 1 sigma and 2 sigma contours. The gray region is the region that's allowed by the top jet resonance search at Atlas, by the absence of seeing anything. So the best fit point is indeed at low MZ prime, and this point featured a rather dramatic reduction in the charge asymmetry due to the associated Z prime production from 0.03 to 0.07, so that is an extreme case. Okay, the spectra are fine, and I'll come back to that later in the context of the strongly interacting model. One thing you might worry about is jet multiplicities in such models. Does the production of a Z prime in the final state, leading to an extra jet in general, at least partonically, does it mess up the jet multiplicity distribution in TT bar events relative to the standard model prediction? So we checked this, and particularly we compared with the CMS study of jet multiplicity in semi-leptonic TT bar events. I just noticed that there is a new, somehow I missed it, there's a new study in dileptonic events which we should look at. And we looked at the cleanest double B-tagged sample, and we found basically this was the CMS percentage distribution of number of jets. Standard model plus new physics is red, standard model is black, and we found using this simulation, just differences of a few percent. So I don't think jet multiplicities are an issue. Okay, so that was the introduction, which I raced through, so that's good. So now we have more time. Now down to the real story here. Strong interaction realization. And bear with me, there are going to be, it's like QCD, there's a lot of resonances here, so it's hard to keep track. And like QCD, the underlying UV theory is very minimal. Okay, so what's the motivation? So the problem is that, so we were talking about models with massive flavor symmetric vectors. Of course, the phenomenological models don't tell you where the mass comes from, and as they stand, they're of course not renormalizable. You have two options for UV completion in general. One is that these vectors are gauge bosons of a horizontal gauge flavor symmetry, FGBs. The other is that they are vector meson multiplets, in analogy with the vectors in QCD that carry quark flavor quantum numbers. So The FTBs are definitely problematic in the for low-scale models because it would require the flavor gauge symmetry to be broken below a TEV. And that's very hard to reconcile with FCNC constraints if you've ever done any model building on this kind of thing. So we are led, I think that for low-scale T-channel models, you're naturally led to a composite vector meson scenario. Okay, it's sort of the flow chart leads you that way. So, and what's appealing, you can already anticipate about, as I've already mentioned this, the composite vector meson models automatically give you a dominant, strongly interacting decay mode for the K-star, in analogy with QCD. So that's not put in by hand. That will come for free. Okay. So as I said, that's favored by not having a large contribution to the TT-bar cross-section from associated K-star production. It'll also be favored by Digit constraints because your S-channel vectors will naturally be broad, like the row going to pi pi. Okay, but the question is, can you actually build models with composite flavor octet vector mesons, or really nonets in this case? And actually, can you arrange that they naturally or in an aesthetic way only couple to the right-handed up quarks, because that's a requirement here. So QCD, of course, as I alluded to, provides the prototype for a flavor nonet of composite vector mesons, and we would like to basically mimic, we're guided by QCD here. So we're going to add an asymptotically free SU3 hypercolor gauge interaction. Because we want the K-star to be of order a couple hundred GV, our strong interaction scale will be not far above, it'll be about a half a TeV, a bit less maybe. And in our minimal model, what we do is we just add SU2 left singlets. We add a flavor, a vector-like, basically flavor triplet. So three of these hyperquarks, in a they're vector-like, so there's left and right guys, will impose, and there'll be a triplet under this minimal SU2 cross U1 UR symmetry. For now, I'm imposing UR by hand, but you'll see that actually that comes out accidentally. And we'll add, the only difference relative to QCD is that we add an additional scalar that transforms in the fundamental of SU3. So it's QCD, it's light flavor QCD, UDS plus a scalar. That's all it is. But the, I don't, you're right. Why? Because it's not QCD, because as you said, I should call it QCD prime. You're right. Where? No. No, they don't. No. Excuse me, they do. They have hypercharge. They will be hypercharge. That's it. No, because, actually, no. The coupling to the, I mean, there will, you mean the scale, the guy that's going to carry, what? What? No, the guy that carry, well, you'll see that, oh. It's vector-like, yeah, and I believe that there's negligible contribution to the S parameter from the hypercolor stuff in the loop. Yeah. Why did I leave it be here? Yeah. So. No. The composite quarks here, they actually lie in mass somewhere between the D star